sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, May 24th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
You love to make me hit you!
But only a little bit, honestly. So today, we take a break from the Erotic Mind podcast series to attend to the unsightly buildup in both my voicemail and email inboxes. And you know there's nothing more embarrassing than unsightly buildup in your box, huh? But before we get to our concerns of the sexually worrisome, a word from our sponsor. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library.
You're very clever, don't you?
Yeah, kinda. So, you know, even though I get a ton of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the Video On Demand tab. The Video Library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh so informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? I'd also like to remind you of the toll-free Lickety-Split Sex Advice Podcast Voicemail Hotline at 866-422-5680. Got a question or a comment? Want to rant or rave for a bit? Or maybe you just want to talk dirty for a minute or two? Why not get it off your chest and give Dr. Dick a call at 866-422-5680. No need to be shy, my friends, because this is voicemail. No human is going to answer your call, least of all me. And besides, calling the hotline will almost guarantee you a place in one of my podcasts.
Now let's get to work.
Hey, wait, that's my line. Okay, on with the show. Let's go to voicemail first.
Okay, Doc. I shot some meth in my cock. Got it several other times. Never missed. This time, during insertion, midway, it blew out or rolled out or something, and I filled between my skin and my meat, fucking full of the fluids. Got a lot of it to drain. It's fucking huge, and it's been a couple weeks now, and I keep draining it and draining it, and the fluids won't fucking disperse. What do I do? Save my cock. Josh, Iowa, please put something online.
Everyone in my audience, please listen up. I am not a medical doctor, nor do I play one on the internets. The Dr. Dick moniker I use refers to my PhD. I'm a clinical sexologist, or a sex therapist, if you prefer, not a physician. Get it? Got it? Good. Now, while I'm very interested in hearing all about your medical-related sexual concerns like the one you present, Josh, I am simply not going to begin to offer you a diagnosis, advise you about treatment, or any such medical-related thing. In fact, I'd be very much surprised if you could find any legitimate physician online that would offer you a diagnosis or advise you about a treatment without seeing you face-to-face. That being said, I will now turn my attention to you, Josh. Get thee to a doctor, a free clinic, or even a hospital emergency room as soon as possible. What in the world are you screwing around writing and sending voicemail messages to me, an online sex advisor, when you are obviously in medical distress? I understand that being a meth addict may have made you a wee bit desensitized to the subtle messages your body is sending you about its well-being. But even you must confess that the kind of pain you describe and the fluid buildup in your Johnson is pretty compelling evidence that you've got a big problem on your hands. The fluid buildup is probably a sign of an infection, and you trying to drain it is probably making matters worse. Since you didn't include your email address when you wrote, or your phone number when you called, I have no way of contacting you before now. So if you are still alive to listen to this response, it is only because you finally came to your senses and got the necessary medical attention you so desperately needed. Now, I'm going to show you just how unabashedly prejudiced I am against your drug of choice and your preferred delivery system. Street drugs, especially meth, are notoriously contaminated with the most vile chemicals, and God knows what else. Consuming meth as blow or as smoke is hazard enough, but to shoot up invites a host of other complications. It makes that way of getting high exponentially more risky. I'm going to give it to you straight, Josh. If you have even a shred of regard left for yourself and or your future ability to function as a sexual being, you must stop this destructive behavior immediately. Get into rehab, work through it, and regain your humanity. Your super rating cock is your wake-up call, my friend. Heed it or don't. Good luck. Now, I have a spate of concerns from long-suffering women to share with you.
Dr. Dick, my first name is Jen, and I'm calling from North Dakota. I'm a widow, and I'm 59 years old, and I am so sad because, the fellow I'm going with, I really love him dearly, but I absolutely cannot have an orgasm with him. I can't. And I was able to with my husband that passed away, and I can when I use, when I do, like with a toy or something like that, but he's just got such pride, and I just don't want to hurt his feelings because it would take me about a half an hour of foreplay to get there. And as it is, I fake it, and I'm very sad because I would love to enjoy this with him. So if there'd be any suggestions, I'd so appreciate it. Thank you, Dr. Dick.
Hey, thank you for your voicemail message. Your concern about your man and his inability to rock your world is, sadly, a very familiar complaint. I hear it from women all the time. You say that your man is prideful and that you don't want to hurt his feelings, but are you really willing to sacrifice your sexual well-being on that altar? I hope not. Even prideful men can learn something about pleasuring the woman they are with. Let's just say that the guy you're dating knew how to pleasure all the women he has ever been with previous to you. That pedigree does not make him an expert on pleasing all other women, including yourself. Allow me to share with you an exchange that I had with another woman in your situation. Perhaps my advice to her will be helpful to you. This is from a woman who is 25. Her name is Zoe. She writes, "I learned to masturbate when I was 12, and from that first time I have loved how it makes me feel. No matter how good my lovers are, they never come close to the pleasure I feel when I'm touching myself. I like the intimacy I have with my boyfriend, but he's not very good in the sack. I've been trying to get him to watch me masturbate, or we could masturbate together so that he'd know how to touch me and make the bells ring. Unfortunately, he's really straight-laced, and he thinks that my suggestion is perverted. He resists every time I bring it up. Sometimes after we have sex, I wait for him to fall asleep, then get myself off. Is this selfish?" You betcha it's selfish. Selfish is all get out. Not you, Zoe, but the bonehead you're fucking. This is a classic, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink sort of deal. Only here we have a you can lead the horse's ass to the mysteries of the pussy, but you can't make him appreciate them. I gotta ask, what makes a sexually enlightened chick like you hook up and stay with a bozo like him? Do you actually think that he's going to magically come around one of these fine days and let you lead him to nirvana? I think not. You know why I think this? It's because you've created a monster. And all I need to worry about is me getting off in my girlfriend's snatch kind of monster. And that's one scary kind of monster. I'm of the mind that it's fruitless to try to get an obstinate partner, like your guy, to do something that he doesn't want to do. The nagging alone will harden his resolve to resist. This does not mean that you'll never get your way. It just means that you have to go about it in a completely different way than, "Oh, honey, won't you please come and watch me jill off?" In the numbskull's defense, he may be missing the point completely. He may not understand why you want him to watch you pleasure yourself. So if your agenda is to get him to be a better lover, that's how you're going to have to approach the big lug. First off, he needs to be told in no uncertain terms that he's not the Hercules in the boudoir he thinks he is. This is going to sting his ego like crazy, and it might well be the end of him and you altogether. But I assure you, risking this is much better than maintaining the status quo. Because with each passing fuck, he will be more convinced than the fuck before that he's the man. Once you burst his bubble, you'll need to immediately inflate a new one for and with him. Us menfolk can't live very long without our illusions. Begin this inflation process by taking some responsibility for this predicament. Own up to keeping him in the dark about his lack of sexual prowess. Then tell him that there is a very easy and fun fix for the problem. Maybe he'll understand that you'll want to jill off for him as a tutorial. He might be more compliant. I'd be willing to guess that if you made this presentation more of a game or a role-play scenario than a seminar, he'd be much more receptive. Why not try something like this? Introduce a blindfold into your sex play. Have him strip down to his jock for you, then blindfold him. It's going to be his job to get you off without using his magic wand that's stuck in his jock. The blindfold will necessitate that he use his hands and mouth to find and pleasure you. While you tease his dick inside his jock, guide his hands to your pussy. He'll no doubt be fumbling around at first, so you'll have to encourage him with some dirty talk. Or actually use his hand to jill yourself off. Just remember, keep it fun and playful, and keep his dick safely tucked away. You can see how this little exercise could be educational for him without being emasculating. Once he figures out that there's more to sex than the old in and out, he might actually come around, so to speak. Similarly, you might, on another occasion, submit to the blindfold yourself, and have him use your hand to jack himself off. In time, you'll be able to do away with the blindfolds altogether. But then you might want to introduce restraints of some sort. While he's buck naked and restrained, put on a hot and horny show for him. Tease him with your self-pleasuring, but don't let him touch you. Maybe rub yourself with his stiff cock. Since he's unable to resist, it will be like masturbating with his pecker. Doesn't that sound like a load of fun for all concerned? Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, we hear from Brandy, who's 31. We don't know where she writes from. My husband, 34, and I'm 31, are coming up to about 10 years of marriage, and for the most part, our sex life has been what I would consider average. He's pretty much been the aggressor in our relationship, which has worked out fine until now. I guess, after 10 years, my husband would like it if I occasionally expressed interest and initiated, and told him what I like, don't like, etc. I really have no idea how to do that. I told him that, and his comment was that maybe I was wasn't even sure what I liked and don't like, and that I've been pretty much just going along for the ride all these years. He's probably right. We used to kiss and cuddle, etc., to work up to sex, and now it's, hey, you want to have sex? Which completely turns me off, which he knows. I'm sure this is partly due to his work schedule and having a four-year-old, so by the time we get into bed, we're wiped out most of the time. But I'm so not into the, hey, you wanta? Approach. Anyways, I guess my question is, how do I get started in figuring out what I like and don't like? How do I work up to feeling comfortable enough to verbalize it, and especially verbalize or show him that I'm in the mood, and then how do I tell him I don't like something without shutting him down? There are times I know I don't like something, but I go along with it because I don't want to shut him down. I should preface by saying I am not a very confident person and tend to be a people pleaser. Thanks. Your husband's right, Brandy. It's fucking time you started lifting your share of the sexual initiation load. I mean, come on, most women would kill for a man in their life that show an interest in what they like and don't like. This going along for the ride has got to end, darling. How do you get started in figuring out what you like and don't like? Masturbation. That's the shortest and most to the point answer I can think of. Once you've discovered what turns your crank through masturbation, you will have loads of very important information to share with your man. How do you work up to feeling comfortable enough to verbalize what turns you on and verbalizing or showing him that you are in the mood? The answer to this question is as simple as the answer to the previous question. You masturbate for him. Now, I know that a lot of people, which includes most women, have been socialized to think that masturbation is wrong, or at least it's a private affair that one should keep to oneself. But I'm here to tell you that that's just bull hockey. And this is true for both women and men, gay and straight, and everyone in between. How do you tell him that you like something without shutting him down? Well, it's probably much easier to tell him what you like and how you like it rather than approaching the tutorial from the negative. If he's not completely brain dead, he will get the message. If, however, he starts to do something that's rubbing you the wrong way, so to speak, simply tell him as calmly as possible that he will get a much bigger and better rise out of you if he did it this way, and then show him again. The fact that you sometimes don't like something, but that you often, if not always, go along, tells me that you've been socializing your man into thinking that he's an adequate lover when he really isn't. It's time for a confession, girlfriend. Be as gentle as you can, but for God's sake, it's time to come clean. Take responsibility for keeping him in the dark about his lack of sexual prowess, then tell him that there's a very easy and fun fix for the problem and show him what you need and how you need it. If you indeed lack the confidence you need to be honest with the one you love and who loves you back, then frankly, Brandy, you deserve what little you get. But if you can muster up the gumption to throw off the tyranny of that people-pleasing bullshit you've been pulling all these years, then you have a real shot at some happiness and sexual fulfillment. It's going to be up to you to make this happen. If you need some support, find a sex-positive therapist that will help you grow some balls. Good luck. Next, we hear from a woman whose name is Coral. We don't know how old she is or where she writes from. She says, "Hello, Dr. Dick. First time question to you. I'm sure you've probably heard this one a million times, but I could use some advice. Happy face. I've married my best friend. Sex has never been frequent or great. Most of the time he finishes in less than 5 minutes of penetration, and I rarely even get to orgasm. The first and last time I think I did have an orgasm, I think it was the day we conceived our little girl. He's a great guy in all other respects, but when it comes to the bedroom, it just doesn't happen. I've tried seducing him, which he responds to eagerly, finishes, and then rolls over and goes to sleep. Tried asking him if we could try different things. Different, as ended up being one of two positions, missionary or woman on top. He does not like and will not do anything else. He does not want to or won't do stimulation with his hands or anything else for that matter. He also does not like or want toys in the bedroom for me or him. Any ideas on how I can convert him to being a wife pleaser? I'm at my wit's end. Last time I seduced him to get some cock in me was about 2 months ago, and needless to say, I didn't get any satisfaction. For the first time, though, I took care of things myself, and at least I slept without really resenting him. Happy face. I've been trying not to care, but I've found that I'm a very passionate woman who only gets more passionate with time, and those needs are not being met. I'm wondering if it's the end. Can people be happy without sex? I haven't found a way to yet, but if you know of something, please let me know. Anyway, if you have a chance to respond to my ramblings, it would be appreciated. Even if you have some insight into his action, non-actions, it would greatly be appreciated. Coral. You're right. I have heard this a million times. I'm going to spare you the niceties and get down to the point. Your husband is clearly not up to the task of being your lover. His behaviors and his disinterest in finding a solution to the problem that you have together tells me that he is a selfish lout. And how in the world could he be your best friend? Best friends don't behave like this. Let me put it to you another way. If you are writing to me to tell me that your husband hoards all the food in the house for himself, that he has you feed him until he's satisfied but offers you nothing but crumbs to sustain yourself, and that he won't even negotiate you getting the food that you need to survive and prosper. What do you think I would say about that? I suppose you see where I'm going with all of this, right? Listen, you ought not be begging for the shit that is rightfully yours. I have one real simple premise that I live by, and that is that each of us has a right to a happy, healthy, and integrated sex life. If there is something that is getting in the way of achieving that, whatever it might be, it's a problem that needs to be addressed immediately. As far as relationships go, I am of the mind that we ought first and foremost work to honor the commitments of fidelity and mutual support that we've made. Are there ways that these two moral principles, a right to a healthy sex life and one's relationship commitments, can coexist when one's relationship excludes the possibility of a happy sexual expression? Yes, I believe they are. And many couples achieve this balance because they have an overriding love and concern for one another. Now the facts. Not all loving relationships have a sexual component. Many, for one reason or another, simply don't. But if a partner is unwilling to provide sexual satisfaction for his or her partner, and he won't even begin to negotiate an amicable solution or other accommodations, then I believe that's a form of sexual abuse. If what you report about your husband's distaste for anything sexually adventurous is accurate, then you have a very hard row to hoe. By the way, are mutually enjoyed sex toys in the bedroom all that adventurous these days? Trying to negotiate a satisfactory solution to a problem is all the more difficult when your partner is opposed to even discussing the issue. Here's what I suggest. Have a frank talk with the bonehead. Tell him in no uncertain terms that he has first right of refusal to you and your long-suffering naughty bits. If he isn't interested in keeping you sexually satisfied, that means the door is open for you to get your groove on elsewhere. If he balks at that, stand your ground. Insist that he has just two options. taking it or leaving it. If this means the end of this relationship, as I suspect it might, then have the spine to make a clean break of it, because if you don't, then you are complicit in the abuse you are suffering. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Write it down. 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from a guy who's 46 and identifies himself as Billy. I've heard it's normal for sex drives to diminish as one ages. I'll run this by you. I'm 46 years old. And the last time I was at a strip club with bare boobs bouncing around me, you might as well have rolled a grapefruit across the floor. Actually, I can see more use from the grapefruit. I don't recall the last time I did it, but jerking off was almost disgusting. My tool has shrunk to nothing. I barely touch it, and it just dribbles. It doesn't fire off anymore. I don't even like to touch it to go take a piss anymore. I've had to shave around it so I can actually find it to keep from pissing in my pants. Is this normal? No, Billy, I don't think it's normal. I think you already know that too, right? Do you know anything about andropause? If not, you ought to. Here's what I suggest. Go to my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Use the site's search function in the sidebar. Type in the keyword andropause, and you will come up with a wealth of information about this very issue. There's also a category among the category pull-down menu called Sex and Aging. You can also look there for information. But for the time being, here's a typical question and response. Wilson, who's 58, writes, I'm a successful entrepreneur in decent health, although I could stand to lose a few pounds. I have just about everything a man could want in life, but I am miserable. I have no energy, and I feel like I'm sleepwalking through my life. I have no sex drive at all. My wife thinks that I'm having an affair. I wish. Even Viagra doesn't do the trick anymore. Is this just old age or what? Old age at 58? Middle age, perhaps. Regardless of what we call it, you sound like you're in the throes of andropause, male menopause, you know, the change of life. Never heard of such a thing? You're not alone. It's only been recently that the medical industry has begun to pay attention to the impact changing hormonal levels has on the male mind and body. Most often, andropause is misdiagnosed as depression and treated with antidepressants. Wrong! Every man will experience a decrease in testosterone, the male hormone, as he ages. This decline is gradual, often spanning 10 or 15 years on average. While the gradual decrease of testosterone does not display the profound effects that menopause does, the end results are similar. There is no doubt that a man's sexual response changes with advancing age and the decrease of testosterone. Sexual urges diminish, erections are harder to come by, and they're not as rigid. There is less jizz shot with less oomph. And our refractory period or interval between erections is even more pronounced. While most of us have heard of a midlife crisis and its tragic consequences, red convertible sport cars, comb-overs, and the trophy wife or lover, few have ever heard of andropause. A midlife crisis is essentially a psychosocial adjustment to aging. Bored at work, bored at home, bored with the wife or partner, that sort of thing. Andropause, on the other hand, although it might coincide with a midlife crisis, is not the same thing. Andropause is a distinct psychological phenomenon that is in many ways akin to female menopause. Unlike women, men can't continue to father children after andropause, but like I said the production of testosterone diminishes gradually after 40. I suppose you know that testosterone is the hormone that stimulates sexual development in the male infant. Bones and muscles grow in adult males and is responsible for our sex drive. But did you know that by the age of 55, the amount of testosterone secreted into our bloodstream is significantly lower than at 45, and by 80? Most male hormone levels have decreased to pre-puberty levels. Say, men, are you over 50? Feeling weak, lethargic, depressed, and irritable? Do you have mood swings, hot flashes, insomnia, decreased libido, like our buddy Wilson here? Then you too might be andropausal, and you need to get some lead back in your pencil. All kidding aside, andropausal men might want to consider testosterone replacement therapy, or TRT. Ask your physician about this. Just know that some medical professionals resist testosterone therapy, mistakenly linking testosterone replacement therapy with prostate cancer, even though recent evidence shows that prostate disease is estrogen-dependent rather than testosterone-dependent. However, before starting a testosterone regimen, insist on a complete physical, including blood work and a rectal exam. Rectal exams. Testosterone is available in many forms: oral, injectable, transdermal, and by way of implants. The oral form is not recommended because of the high risk of liver damage, but injections, patches, pellets, creams, and gels might be just the answer. I encourage you to be informed about testosterone replacement therapy before you approach your doctor, because the best medicine is practiced collaboratively by you and your doctor. Good luck. And finally today, there's this from Betty, who is 50 and writes from Atlanta. Other than a visit to the doctor, how can I remove a vibrator part that came off during use? Oh, yikes! Here's another instance of someone writing to me about a crisis situation but failing to include any means for me to respond to her in a timely fashion. So, okay, Betty, you or someone you know got a broken vibrator part stuck inside herself somewhere. Is it in your pussy, your asshole? Is the broken piece sharp or pointed? Or is it more of a rounded shaped thing? I know all of these questions are probably beside the point by now, but I ask them anyhow. For the benefit of those in my audience who may at some point in the future experience something like this, getting something out of one's vagina is going to be much easier than trying to fish something out of one's poop chute. And if the something has a rounded shape as opposed to an angular shape, you'll have a better chance of removing it from wherever. What you need to do is relax. I know that will be a bit of a challenge considering what has just happened, but if you become anxious and clamp down on whatever it is inside of you, you will only make matters worse. My rule of thumb with regard to insertables is don't insert anything anywhere that can break off inside of you. Never insert anything that is sharp and or angular, and play with only quality toys made of quality materials. If the offending piece inside of you does not appear to be moving toward the outside on its own, then a trip to the hospital is your only option. I know this will be somewhat humiliating, but it's not something that the emergency room personnel haven't seen before. Trust me on that. Good luck. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next time for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
I fought worse monsters than you for years in Hollywood. I know how to win the hard way.
I'll bet you do. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video on Demand, or VOD. There's no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute sort of deal. Remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall-darn sweet, huh? There's one more thought. I hope that you're also following my two other interview series, which appear on Wednesdays. One is called Sex Education, where I converse with prominent practitioners, educators, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles, and we investigate the world of fetish sex and kink. The other is called Sex Wisdom, and here I chat with researchers, educators, clinicians, pundits, and philosophers who are making news and reshaping how we look at our sexual selves. I can assure you that these conversations will be well worth the time you spend with us. And look for all of my podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe, and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.